To the book of Galatians, chapter number 4. Galatians chapter number 4. I know what some of you might be thinking is, hey, this is not 2 Samuel, and you are bright. That's right, it's not 2 Samuel. So probably next week we're going to look at this, the last chapter in 2 Samuel. It might take a couple weeks to get through that, but we're going to at least look at, thank you, Mr. Rick. Tonight we're going to look a little bit about a Christmas message. And, you know, we come to the Christmas season, and we've heard so many things, so many different Christmas sermons, and yes, some of them sound a lot alike, and I think that's a good thing to remind us, to put us in the right spirit, but this one's a little bit different, and it's not just because I'm looking for different things, but also trying to be led by the Holy Spirit of God. And the title of this evening's message is Someone Who Is Often Forgotten Around Christmas. Someone who is often forgotten around Christmas. Now, I talk to my son sometimes, try to figure out the right titles, and I ask him, he says, well, who's often forgotten about around Christmas? He says, Aunt Amy. And I have a sister named Amy, so he wasn't getting what I was talking about. He says, I wouldn't use that as a sermon title, but my sister lives in North Carolina down in Winston-Salem area, and she is often the ones we forgot. We'll call Elkton up, and we'll talk to Mom and Dad and Uncle Steve and Aunt Stacy and their cousin Meredith, but not always do we get a chance to talk to Aunt Amy. Sometimes we actually call as a group call, and we sing the 12 Days of Christmas to my mom. She loves that. We each take a different one, and it's kind of an annual tradition. Some of you have probably even been around when we've done that. Now that it's actually got the enough technology that we can actually all be on the same face a time that you can look at different ones so they can all be singing it at the same time. So that's our way to be together at Christmas. Very rarely do we ever go home for Christmas. Sometimes we do it a few days afterwards, or like the following week and the first week in the New Year's, when things after youth conference is over and things like that happen, just to spend some time with the grandparents. Some reason grandparents want to see their grandkids. I don't know why, but sometimes they do. But who's often forgotten around Christmas? And it's the thought about the Holy Spirit. We hear about God the Father, God sent. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, even in Galatians chapter 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God, talking about the Father, sent forth his Son. So we hear about God the Father, and we hear about the Son. God's love for us, the Son's willingness to come. And we don't hear much about the Holy Spirit of God, but during the Christmas story, the Holy Spirit's at work. And you're going to see different times. We're going to go to Luke chapter 1, Luke chapter number 2, and we're going to see before and after all the different things the Holy Spirit had to do during the Christmas story and the Christmas season. And you say, Pastor, why is that important? Because God is trying to work in our hearts now. The Holy Spirit is the one trying to do a work. And I know people use that term, the spirit of Christmas, often. Now, what is the spirit of Christmas? And I tell you, if we're Christians, if we're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, that's the spirit of Christmas, the Holy Spirit. He gives us exactly what we need to be, exactly how we should act, and exactly what we should be doing. Once we're controlled and filled by the Holy Spirit of God, he tells us what we need to do. Galatians chapter number 4, let's look at verses 4 and 5. It says, but when the fullness of time was come. And I love that phrase. You know what it's saying? God's timing is perfect. When everything happened the way God designed it, and we can trust in that, was come. God sent forth his Son. You see here, God the Father sending forth the Son. Now we know there's three parts of the Godhead here. They're all co-equal, they're all co-existent, they're all co-eternal, they're all co-powerful. And it says, made of a woman. And we see that, you know, the idea of the virgin birth, made under the law, talking about the dispensation it is, and the purpose to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. So that way we could become children of God. And that's usually where we stop. We read verses 4 and 5 around Christmas time, and then we go on. Well, I want you to look at verse number 6. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you see the connection here of these three. You see pictures throughout all the Bible about three, the three in one, because there's three parts of the Godhead. It's interesting to me that we make that big deal out of God the Father, which I think we should, and a big deal out of God the Son, because of the fact he's the one that came. But rarely do we ever talk about the Holy Spirit at Christmas time. And I want you to understand today that we, our God is in is a three person in the Godhead, and they are all co-equal, and they all kind of work, and they all work together. They all have their different attributes, different things they do. And I would like to look at tonight the Holy Spirit's work at Christmas. Someone who often we forget about, but the one that we probably need the most, the one that lives inside of us, the one that we're supposed to surrender to. Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his, of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that's where his Spirit is. And you see what it says in verse number 6, the Spirit of his Son. So tonight we're going to learn a little bit about the Holy Spirit of God. And it's the Holy Spirit that we need that can lead us and direct us and show us exactly how we're supposed to act and how we're supposed to live and have the right type of Christmas. I began thinking a little bit. You can take your Bible to Luke chapter number 1. We're going to look at these different times when the Holy Spirit had a part in there. And if I told you, went around the room and say, well, who can figure out the four or five times? I'm sure you probably could come up with some of them. But the Spirit of Christmas, and some, that means a lot of things to some different people. Some people think the Spirit of Christmas is giving. And, you know, that's what people have said before. The Spirit of Christmas is giving. And I understand why they say that. Some people say, you know what, we really get in the, quote, unquote, Christmas spirit when we pull out the decorations. That kind of puts me in the non-Christmas spirit when I had to hang up the Christmas lights. You guys might like that, but not me. That's why I have two sons. When my sons go off to college and I get stuck doing that, that won't give me Christmas spirit. Some people think Christmas spirit is when you get to be able to opportunity to give things to people. And I enjoy showing my appreciation and love to people by giving gifts to people. And some people think the Christmas spirit is decoration. Some people think the Christmas spirit is the time when you get to listen to Christmas carols. And I like to hear Christmas carols played, and it can put you in the right mood. Music is a powerful, powerful tool. Some people think Christmas spirit is in a bottle. And you think about it, during this time of year, it's a really tough time of year for some people because they don't have the joy of the Lord on their on them, and because of the fact that it's a very bad time of year, they use alcohol. You think about it, Scrooge thought that the Christmas spirit was a ghost. And he got maybe part of the right, but it was the Holy Ghost. It wasn't the ghost he was talking about. So how was the Holy Spirit working here? Where was the Holy Spirit working? And I want to just say for a minute or two that the Holy Spirit is something that we should not be afraid of. There is other people that put such an emphasis on the Holy Spirit, it feels like, you know, we feel a little bit odd even talking about him. But our relationship with the Holy Spirit of God is so key and so important. He's the one that leads us. He's the one that guides us. He's the one that teaches us. I love the Holy Spirit of God. He was the one that drew me into salvation. Say, Pastor, I've heard your testimony before. I've heard you say that preacher got up and preached and he was faithful and you're thankful for that. I was, but it was the Holy Spirit of God that interpreted to me. It was anything that we've ever learned from about God and the things from God. He is our teacher. It amazes me, the Holy Spirit and the work he does. He can be speaking to my heart right now. As I'm speaking, you know what? He speaks to your heart too. And what he might say to somebody over here might be something completely different over there. And it just amazes me what the Holy Spirit can do and how the Holy Spirit can lead. And the Holy Spirit took up residence in my life over 35 years ago. But I still want to know him better. That's one thing that I think sometimes we don't talk to him like we should. You say, me talk to the Holy Spirit? I don't know how many times I sat at a scripture and said, Holy Spirit, I need you to teach me. I need you to guide me. I need you to give me what you want, because that's the roles that he has. You think about it. If someone entered and began to live in your house 35 years ago, wouldn't you know him better than you would know him than you know him at the beginning? If the Holy Spirit of God has been living inside of you for how many years, shouldn't we know him better? Shouldn't we have a better relationship with him? When's the last time you spoke to the Holy Spirit? When's the last time you said, Holy Spirit, I need you to lead me, I need you to guide me, I need you to show me what you want me to do? Because he is truly, in my mind, the Spirit of Christmas. So let's look at this for a little while. The first thing is the Holy Spirit involved with the impossible. The Holy Spirit is involved with the impossible. And let's look here in verses 34 and 35. Mary here is in the story of Mary, the angel speaking to Mary. We're not going to read all that because I think you're familiar with it. But she asked that question, and it's a reasonable question. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? So Mary is saying, look, she's getting ready to have a baby. She's getting ready to have a baby without a husband. That's not a good thing, but that can happen. But a baby without knowing a man, that's impossible. And you see in the story here, she says, I know not a man. But listen to what it says here. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. The Holy Spirit is connected in the incarnation of Jesus Christ. It is the Holy Spirit. As you read it here, it says, the Holy Spirit shall come upon thee. It is the Holy Spirit, the power of the highest. She said, well, the highest is there talking about God. The Holy Spirit is God. And he is the one that actually performs the miracle here of the incarnation of Jesus Christ. Jesus did not begin in Bethlehem, just like the Holy Ghost did not begin at Pentecost. They were there and have always been there. Genesis 1:2, the Bible says, and the earth was without form and void, and the darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God, the first reference of the Holy Spirit in the Bible is found in Genesis 1:2. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, performs this miracle by his power. And I want you to think about it. The Holy Spirit is involved with the impossible. And you consider, we want some impossible things, don't we? We want to see people saved. We want to see God work. We want to see God move. We want to see God supernaturally use us. We're not going to get there without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's got to be part of our Christmas. We can't forget about him. We're seeing family members that many times we get on our knees and say, God, I'd like to see them saved. God, I'd like to see them change. God, I would like to see this happen. I'd like to see this happen. I'd like to see America turn around. I'd like to see this. I see that. It's never going to happen unless the Holy Spirit's involved. And so as we're saying here, as what we're learning at, the person that's often forgotten during the Christmas story is the Holy Spirit, but he was at work that first Christmas season, and he wants to be at work in our hearts and lives today. As we surrender ourselves and as we yield ourselves, we give him the ability to do the impossible. Just as you keep on reading in these verses, it says, and behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, the angel was speaking to Mary and saying, behold, thy cousin Elizabeth shall also, she's saying, that, look, your cousin Elizabeth, the older lady, she's having a baby, shall have also conceived a son in her old age, and this was the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And then Mary responds, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy will, thy word. She's saying, I'm willing to surrender to it. And if the Holy Spirit is at work here, that first Christmas season, that first Christmas season, it was written, it was saying, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. I thought about that phrase a little bit, overshadow thee. What does that mean? I looked up the word overshadow, to throw a shadow over. That doesn't really have much to do. To surpass, that's kind of interesting, comes over to cover with a superior influence. I thought, that's a good one. To cover with a superior influence. We allow the Holy Ghost to cover us and have the greater influence in our lives. The kind of way they're saying is, we don't need to shine. We need to yield to the Holy Spirit of God so the Holy Spirit of God can shine through us. The Holy Spirit can do things that are impossible, but we can't. Mary can't have a baby without a husband or without knowing a man, but the Holy Spirit can. So when you consider the person that's often forgotten about at Christmas time is the person we need the most. We need his power. We need his strength. We need his ability. And we need to see he was at work that first Christmas season, and the Holy Spirit's always continually trying to be at work in our hearts and trying to be at work in our lives. And then we ask the question, well, what's the primary work of the Holy Spirit? Listen to what it says in John chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. Jesus is telling his disciples, saying, hey, look, I'm coming. I'm leaving, but the Holy Spirit is coming. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, now listen what he will do. He will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. He's not going to glorify himself, but whatsoever he shall hear and shall he speak, he will show you things to come. Now listen, it says, he shall glorify me. He shall not speak of himself, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. The Holy Spirit is saying, here, when he comes, you know what he's going to do? He's going to glorify Jesus. That's the whole purpose of what he's there. That's his role. That's his part of the Godhead. You had the Father, you had the Son, you had the Holy Spirit. He is going to glorify Christ. You say he's the one that lives in us. He's given us his Spirit to glorify Christ. That's the exact thing. The Holy Spirit of God lives within us, and he is trying to glorify Christ with our lives and with our body and with our energy and with our strength. When we allow the Holy Spirit to overshadow us, guess what happens? Christ will be lifted up. When we allow the Holy Spirit overshadow us, have the superiority in our lives, to have the covering in our lives, we're going to start talking different. We're going to start acting different. We're going to start looking different in some ways. Our spirit is going to be different because it's not our spirit that's in us. It's the Spirit of God living through us. One preacher put it this way. I believe Christ wants to live incarnate on the earth today. And I thought that was kind of interesting. He came incarnated, and he still, you know, has that body. But you may say, how? And he says he wants to live his life through our lives today. It's Christ in us. He wants to live his life and purpose through us. He wants our hands to be his hands. He wants our feet to be his feet. He wants our mouth to be his mouth. And as we allow the Holy Spirit of God to overshadow us, we can do the impossible. We can do anything that he wants us to do and allows us to do through the Holy Spirit of God. And we see him at work 9 months before the baby was born. We see him working in Luke chapter number 1. He's involved with the impossible. The second thing I want you to see is not only is the Holy Spirit involved with the impossible, the Holy Spirit's involved with preparation. With preparation. You keep on reading in the story, Mary goes to visit Elizabeth, and the Holy Spirit's at work again. Look what it says in chapter 1, verse 41. It came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, heard the greeting of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with who? The Holy Ghost. So you see him at work again. He's not only in work in Mary's life, he's working in Elizabeth's life. You know what? The great thing is he can work in Mary's life and Elizabeth's life, and he can work in my life. He can work in your life too. And you see that she is filled with the Holy Spirit. And then look what happens. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord shall come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And I like this. So you can picture you got one pregnant lady here, and you got another pregnant lady here, and you got the one pregnant lady who has the Christ child. And over there you got the pregnant lady that has the forerunner of Christ. So you got the Christ child, and then you got the forerunner of Christ, and she's filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And what is the forerunner of Christ? It's for preparation. John was sent ahead of time to be the forerunner of Christ, and John the Baptist was the one that says, behold the Lamb of God, which should take away the sins of the world. It was a preparation that they were preparing him for. They gave specific responsibilities to John and specific things he was allowed to do and wasn't allowed to do. There was a preparation. He is preparing John the Baptist for the work. He is preparing from what to point people to. And you think about it, he's excited. Even from the womb, he knows that Jesus is coming, and he leaps. You know, does John the Baptist do that? No, it's the Holy Spirit of God. It's the joy that's involved. He's preparing him for his ministry of one that's going to point people to Christ, and it involves joy. It involves preparing his heart. And when we're filled with the Spirit, guess what's going to happen? Joy is going to come out. That comes out naturally. You think about it, the fruits of the Spirit is what? Love. And what's the next one? Joy, right? Love, joy, peace. When we're filled with the Spirit of God, those fruits of the Spirit are naturally going to come out. We might not be very loving. We might not be very joyful. We might not be very kind or gentle or tender heart. We might not be any of those things, but when we allow the Holy Spirit of God to be filling our hearts and lives, guess what? Those things come out. They prepare us to point people to Christ. And when those fruits of the Spirit comes out in our lives, guess what happens? Christ is magnified. Christ is glorified. And what does the Bible talk about? He says, let thy light shine before men, you know, that they may see your good works and do what? Glorify you? No. Glorify what? Your Father, which is in heaven. And so that's the whole point is the Holy Spirit prepares them to get ready. He has prepared Elizabeth. Now, I like Elizabeth here. She's there. She's pregnant. She hears Mary say some type of salutation, some type of introduction. And it says that she begins just to talk. And listen to what she's saying here. She can't say this on her own. Does she even know that Mary is going to be the one? I mean, does it say somewhere that she knows Mary is going to have the child? No, Elizabeth begins being filled with the Holy Spirit. And when she's filled with the Holy Spirit, she just talks. And that's what happens when joy happens. We will just talk. We will just give out the good news. And that's what she's saying here. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" This is exciting to her. The Holy Spirit's at work in the life of Elizabeth, which is John the Baptist is in the womb. And I just like that thought. The baby's jumping for joy. He knows that Jesus is nearby and that joy is already coming. It says the babe leaped. It's a type of the Holy Spirit's at work. When the Holy Spirit's at work, guess what's going to happen? There's going to be joy present. And how many of us think our pastors should be spirit-filled? We should be. I should strive for that. But it's not just about me being spirit-filled. It's not just about the missionaries being spirit-filled. It's not just about teachers being filled. The fullness of the Spirit is for every child of God. And God doesn't just want to control the preacher. He doesn't want the Holy Spirit gets to lead the preacher. He wants to lead all of us. He wants to lead the way you talk at home. He wants to lead the way you talk at work. He wants you to live a life that's going to be honoring and pleasing, and it's going to be preparing the hearts so we can magnify Christ. The Holy Spirit's involved with preparation. He prepared John the Baptist, was preparing Elizabeth. Next one is the Holy Spirit's at work, and we're going to skip over a few of them. There's other times when the Holy Spirit's mentioned in this story, but we're going to look at the next one is the Holy Spirit is involved with exhortation. Exhortation is to speak passionately, to encourage, to, with your mouth, talk to others. And let's look here in verse 67, same chapter. And his father, whose father? John the Baptist's father. And his father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Ghost. He's at work again. The Holy Spirit has always wanted to be working. Remember in chapter number 1, he questions the angel, and the angel makes him unable to speak for those months until he's saying, "His name shall be John." And then the Holy Spirit comes upon him, and he opens up his mouth. And the funny thing is, many times when we are doubting, we're silent. Many times when we're questioning God, we're not willing to speak for God. We're not willing to speak on behalf of God. We're not willing to tell other people about God because we're doubting and we're faithless. Just like John the Baptist's father, Zacharias, when he saw that the child had came, God, and he said, "His name shall be John." His mouth was open. He began to exhort. He began to tell people. He began to give people instruction. He began to talk about the Messiah. What did he do? He lifted up Christ. Why did he lift up Christ? It's because he was spirit-filled. And a person that's spirit-filled, just like Mary was talking to Mary, that, and then Elizabeth, what are they doing? They're lifting up Christ. What is Zacharias doing? Well, let's read what he says about him. He says in verse number 67, he was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people." He has come. He came in the flesh and to redeem his people. The baby wasn't even born yet. "And hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And he spake by the mouth of the holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the land of our enemies, might serve him without fear." I like that. We can serve him without fear and holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. "And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins." What happened there? He lifted up Christ. Well, how did he lift up Christ? It's because he was spirit-filled. So the person that is forgotten so often at Christmas is the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Spirit. The person that we need most at Christmas is the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit. Because when we're filled with him, guess what we're going to do? We're going to lift up Christ, and it's going to come out naturally. Let me tell you a little secret. I feel more comfortable speaking to large groups than speaking to one person about Jesus. Why is that? Well, some people would tell you, it's because I lack boldness. Some people would tell you it's because, I don't have the right words to say. But I think it really comes to being surrendered to the Holy Spirit. As we yield to the Holy Spirit, He gives us the words. As we yield to the Holy Spirit, He gives us boldness. As we yield to the Holy Spirit, like Zacharias, his tongue that was loose, you don't have any other choice as you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God but to lift Him up. Just like Elizabeth, I don't know if she really knew what she was saying. It wasn't just a woman just talking. It was someone who was filled with the Holy Spirit of God that had a message to say. Just like Zacharias wasn't just a preacher praying over his son some words. He was filled with the Spirit of God, and he was lifted up, not because he figured out what to say over those 9 months. It's because the Holy Spirit had a control of him, and He gave him the words to say. I want you to understand, the great thing He is working in my heart as He works in your heart. But when you go to talk to somebody about Christ, He's giving you the words to say, but He's on the other side dealing with that person's heart too. You're not doing it alone. It's not based off your cool way to win somebody to Christ. It's not based off of your fancy words or your routine. It's not based off of those things. It's based off being Spirit-led. And as He's using and talking to you, and as you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you're lifting Christ up, and it says, as He is lifted up, He will draw all men to Him. What the other person is, he's interpreting it to him. He's saying to him, you need that. He's drawing them to a point to help them understand. But He's doing the work over here. He's doing the work over here. And guess what? He can do the work over here too. And like I said, one preacher can get up and preach to a message of 1,000 people and can speak to every person in a different, specific way because he's able to work. And the person who's forgotten so often at Christmas is the person who we need, because he's the one that gives us the ability and to naturally exhort him and to lift him up. You say, Pastor, I don't really know how in the world to reach people in this Christmas season. Don't worry about that. Worry about becoming so close to God and so Spirit-filled and let Him control you. Guess what? He'll give you right where He wants you to go. He'll give you to say what He wants you to say. He'll give you the opportunity to do the things that you want to do. Are we Spirit-filled Christians? Now you say, Pastor, do you talk to people individually? Of course I talk to people individually. And as I strive to become Spirit-filled and to live a Spirit-filled life, it is so much easier when I stop and say, Holy Spirit, give me the words to say. I don't know how to help this person, but Holy Spirit, you give me the words. I am surrendering myself to you, and you give me the words that's going to help reach that person. Because we don't know what the words are. I don't know what to say to that person. I don't know what you're going through. We have 40 people here tonight. We all have our own. When I go down our prayer list, sometimes it just makes me want to cry, because I see this person's going through this hardship, and this person's going through this hardship, and this person's facing this problem, and this person. And everybody has a story. And your heart breaks, but you don't know what to do. But He does. He knows the right words to say. So it's not about learning something. It's about knowing someone better. Fourth thing, and this is the last thing. We're going to stop with this one. The Holy Spirit is involved with leadership. The Holy Spirit is involved with leadership. So He was involved with the impossible. He was involved with the preparation. He's involved with the exhortation. Now He's involved with leadership. Go ahead and take your Bible to Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter number 2. Christ has been born at this point in time, and there's a man named Simeon. And most of you guys know I like this guy, Simeon. We've preached about this guy, Simeon, before. And it says, Luke chapter number 2, look at it says in verse number 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. So he, once again, the Holy Spirit's at work. Before Christmas, after Christmas, even in 2018, he is at work. He wants to be working even greater in your life. And it says, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death. So we see there is a revelation there. It has been told him, you're not going to see death. He is consoling him. He is giving him hope. Now, you could have put the Holy Spirit is involved with consolation and the fact that he gives us peace and he gives us comfort. You could have written here that the Holy Spirit is involved in worship, because in just a second, you're going to see him worshiping. You're going to see the Holy Spirit is involved in all this, and this is why we need to make sure we don't forget about him this Christmas, and that's why we don't quench the Spirit of God, and that we don't take away the Spirit of God, and instead we try to get filled with the Spirit of God. And look what it says, and it says verse 26, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. Look what it says in verse 27, and he came by the Spirit into the temple. What does that mean? He was led by the Spirit into the temple. And the Holy Spirit knew that Joseph and Mary and the baby was coming to do that ritual or that thing they were supposed to do for the newborn babe. And he was coming in, and Simeon was coming along, and it was revealed unto Simeon, and it came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy words, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. You imagine, 8 days after the baby's been born, you see the angels, you see the shepherds, and they're just going to the temple. I don't think they think anybody's, they're not saying, hey, look, this is the Messiah. Everybody would think they were crazy. But Simeon comes along, led by the Spirit of God, and what do? He lifts up Christ. A light to lighten the Gentiles. The salvation for his people. And he, what does he do? He lifts up Christ. Well, how come he lifts up Christ? It's because he's Spirit-filled. It's a natural reaction. And so I want to encourage you to say, Pastor, there's things going on in my life that I need to be led in. I don't know what direction it is. And we've preached about asking wisdom from God, seeking wisdom from God, what we're supposed to do when we don't know what to do next, following God without a star, all those different things. But the greatest thing we can do in our life is to get as close to God as we can and ask the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. What do you mean? It means that we let him take control. As he reveals things to us, we say no to things that we're supposed to say no to. We say yes to things we're supposed to say yes to. We be willingly respond. Simeon was someone who was at the temple all the time. Maybe it was his day off. But it says at this specific time, he was led into the temple. And then you see Anna comes alongside, and Anna begins to worship him. And you go down to verse 36, and there was one Anna, a prophetess, a daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband even from years from her virginity. And she was a widow about 80 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Now, how would she have been able to give thanks instantly? The Holy Spirit reveals unto him who the child is, and either that or she hears Simeon, and what does she do? She tells everybody, because it's a natural thing, because she's Spirit-filled. So, how do we win people to Christ? How do we change the world? We don't forget about the Holy Spirit of God. And in the stories, Christmas stories, and we will emphasize Christ, and we'll emphasize God the Father, but there is someone who's trying to do a work in our lives and our hearts today that we should not forget about this Christmas. There are some people that we forget all about at Christmas time. Unfortunately, that's many times Christ. Many times he's left outside. It's his birthday party, but no one pays attention to him. But even in a greater way, how many times do we forget about this Holy Spirit? There's other times that there's remarks made about the Holy Spirit, but these four things, I think, teach us something. He wants to work in the lives and hearts of those that believe and trust in him. And as we get filled with him, then we're going to talk about him. I'll tell you one last illustration. As I was studying, I came across this, and I thought it was good, and we'll finish. So this guy was telling, this preacher, I heard the illustration, he said he took his shoe off. I'm not going to take my shoe off, just you can picture that. He put his shoe on the pulpit. You guys remember Brother McBride did that one year when he was preaching about that old shoe. He took his shoe off and had the shoe sitting there. I thought that was the craziest thing in the world, but I never forgot it either. But he took his shoe off and set it there, and he says, this shoe was a present. He says, the other shoe was a present too. And he says, that shoe is many times like us when it comes to the Holy Spirit of God. He says, he took the shoe and he put it down on the ground, and then he said to it, walk to the back door. Guess what? It didn't move. Even sat there for a few seconds and said it a couple different times. By that time, the people thought he was crazy. And he said, that's many times what we're like is when we try to do things on our own without being filled with the Holy Spirit of God, that shoe could not go anywhere and do anything without being filled. And then he put the shoe on, and then he walked to the back door. What are you getting at? The shoe by itself could not accomplish what it was intended to accomplish because it wasn't filled. And the same thing with us in our Christian lives. The Holy Spirit wants to do certain things, and God desires, he gives us a whole long list of things that we're supposed to be doing, but we don't accomplish those. It's because we're not filled. That shoe does no good in walking until it's filled with somebody. And we're never really going to do anything good for the Lord until we're filled with somebody too. Let's not forget about Christ at Christmas. But let's not also forget about the Holy Spirit. And when next time somebody says the spirit of Christmas, we can really remember what the true spirit of Christmas is. Because that's what we all look for. That's what we all seek. I want to have the right spirit this Christmas. Become spirit-filled, it's going to happen naturally. And you're going to know what to say. You're going to know how to respond because you're letting him lead you. You're letting him prepare you. You're letting him be involved in doing the impossible in your life. And that exhortations that so many of us are nervous about and don't know how to do, it's going to come naturally. Wouldn't that be nice? That's what happens when we're spirit-filled. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed.